there's a reason why crossed flags, crossed muskets, Ronald Wilson Reagan, and John the Duke Wayne are all part of a tattoo design done for me. I haven't gotten it tattooed on yet. That I'm waiting for one of these days, I'm going to get applied to my body. Because you shouldn't just go out and get a tattoo. You know, you've got these kids out there with these tattoos, these Chinese characters that say stuff like, that wasn't chicken, mm-hmm. or something, you know, mm-hmm. Kind of a thing. You know, this is, a tattoo should be significant.
Yep.
And I think that that's as significant as I can possibly get. I mean, we are talking about two guys that compared to me are left-wing, but in the meantime, mm-hmm. I had a thought go through my mind the other day that it's been a while since, you know, you and I are familiar with New York market radio of the 50s, 60s, 70s. And Don Imus came up in conversation the other day about his recordings that were a little bit off color.
yeah,
but he used to open up his show. He used to open up his show and say to people, "Ah, you're naked, baby." Well, I am. Anne-Marie's not. But buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for another edition of Political QRM Lock and Load.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. I forgot about that. Good old Imus.
Oh, Imus, Wolfman Jack.
I thought Wolfman Jack used to say that. Are you naked?
Oh, no, Wolfman Jack. No, that was Imus.
Was it?
Yeah. You know, cousin Bruce Morrow, Dan Ingram, Ron Lundy. Oh, yeah. Oh, what a crew. Murray Kay.
Oh, gosh.
You know,
oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Herb Murray Oscar Kay. Anderson.
Yep.
You know, Dick Summer, all those people. You know, William B. Williams. You know, Ted Brown. All these people that were New York market radio. And then, of course, with the changes that came, we had, of course, good old Bernard Meltzer and mm-hmm. Joan Hamburg and Patsy McCann and you know, people like that. So we love New York market radio, or I did. The greatest station in the world, by the way, was WNEW 1130 in New York.
AM?
AM, yes. Yeah. It's, AM.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't forget WNEW.
WFM.
Yeah, remember the
yeah, FM? WFM had some of my fellow alumni, Dennis Elsis, and, what was the other fellow? From Uppsala College, WSOU.
Really?
Yep. Huh. Started out there and worked their way up to WNEWFM. So.
Wow. Those
but
are
we
days.
Digress, which is not unusual.
Yeah, well, we always do that, sorry.
If we didn't digress, we'd get letters, right?
Yeah, what's wrong with you people? You actually did a straight podcast, you know? No. Oh, so here we are again, folks. Here we are again.
What's on our...
We have so much on our plate today, we should just dive right in. I think the biggest thing that's going on right now is the media's... you know what? I have to say, they're on their way to a collective nervous breakdown. They are.
Oh, I think they had it already.
No, I think that... either... And they're on their way to, you know, let's put all these people in white coats and shove them away. I cannot believe. I mean, CNN.
Yeah, I want to know.
What?
I want to know who's going to be Nancy Pelosi's bunkie in the Athlon.
Wait a minute. We'll get to Pelosi in a second. Let me, because there was a lot to say about Pelosi. I mean, you know.
And Waters.
Pelosi, though, I think she's going off the deep end. But this thing about the Trump tweets and his latest one about Joe and Micah Brzezinski and so on and so forth, and how upset everybody is. And today, Joe and Micah on their show decided they would dissect all of Trump's tweets and make fun of him. And the thing is that the one thing that gets me is that everybody seems to forget everything that good old Obama said. You know, like that one comment that, well, oh, when they bring a knife, we'll bring a gun. Who cares if she's
right,
a woman?
Yeah.
Who cares if she's a woman? I don't care.
Channeling his Sean Connery.
Yeah.
But listen.
Do you care? I don't care if she's a woman.
I don't. Well, first of all, you can't have equal rights for women if you don't have the equal responsibilities.
Exactly.
You know, and if that means you take a gut punch once in a while, that means you. I'm not talking physically here, folks.
Yes, we know.
Although there are some people in the men's rights movement who believe that if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back.
Oh, I agree, though.
Trying to think.
Why should anybody be allowed to beat anybody up like that? Seriously.
Well,
if you look back.
MSNBC, CNBC, CNN, all these other ones, especially CNN, you know, which is absolute nosedive, death spiral or whatever you want to call it. These things have constantly, even if his tweet was innocent, they've been calling him a jerk, a loser, or, you know, they've been talking about, you know, and all of a sudden yesterday the president comes up with what did he call her, crazy psycho or low IQ crazy Micah and psycho Joe. And oh my God, you know, wait a minute, what, this is new for him? Who came up with low energy Jeb and Lion Ted and little Marco? You know, I mean, this, he applies these terms of endearment, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, for the impact value. I do the same thing. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. Now, if they can't, if they're willing to punch, then they can't take a counterpunch or at least dodge it.
Yep.
Then they're in the wrong business.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
You know, I looked at a thing this morning. Secretary, help me out here.
Who? Which one? Of what what cabinet position?
HHS. Homeland Security.
DHS? Kelly?
Yeah.
Well, not Kelly.
Kelly and...
Was it Kelly? Yeah.
No.
Kelly. No. Oh, God.
Anyhow.
The brain's going.
Yeah, mine too. They said he's gotten threats from senators. And I know people on social media. Yeah, not death threats, just threats. This guy's a Marine general, you know, and and this other clown from MSNBC says to the president this morning on air, and I don't remember who because I just saw it as I was rolling over here to start the podcast.
It's Kelly, John Kelly.
Meet me in the schoolyard because you need to be schooled.
Who said that?
Well, first and foremost, that one of the MSNBC hosts or contributors. And because I'm a room away from my other computer, I can't look it up all at the same time. Maybe you can. But, first of all, that's a direct threat of violence against the President of the United States. Go pick him up and start the interrogation.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I mean, this is how they act. This is how they react.
Well, you know.
You know, how many times they've ripped him apart and they talked about the size of his hands and they talk about his hair and his eyebrows and they talk about his kid, his 11-year-old kid.
I know.
And they talk about his other sons and daughters and daughters-in-law. And all this stuff, and they rip it to shreds, and, oh, you know, look at the gown she's wearing. And, you know, first of all, the other day they picked on her for wearing an off-white dress to a wedding for Secretary Mnuchin the other day. And I looked at the photograph. I looked at it that was taken inside with flash, and I looked at a photograph a few minutes later taken outside in daylight. The dress was pink.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the amateur fashionista in me talking.
Yeah. Well, no, the
dress
thing is, they're, you know, but you see, if
so
they say it's white.
The guy rabbit punched these people. Yeah.
If they say it's off white or white, whatever, but you see, everybody's supposed to believe them. The press today seems to think that they are untouchable. They also believe that they don't have to tell the truth. They can tell a version of how they see things. They don't have to tell exactly what happened. Because they have trained anymore in that. There's no 5 W's. Who, what, when, where, why.
No.
No more.
The, these, first of all, if you're going to say that and you're going to put a picture up at the top of the article, at least whitewash the shot a little bit so people might buy into it. But anybody that's not, like, red-orange colorblind, look at this and say, what the hell are you talking about?
It's exactly. Pink. I know.
These kind of, it broke the unwritten code of weddings. You never wear white. You know, get away from me.
Yeah, get away.
You know, and all this stuff. So, you know, he finally turned around and said, you know what? Shut up.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's like, oh, now he's like this whole thing with the press briefings.
Yeah.
We're going to have them off camera. We're going to do them only on certain days. We may not do it every day anymore. We're this, we're that. Some days will be on camera, some days off camera. And then they pick on Sarah Huckabee. They pick on Sean Spicer. They pick on everybody else. And when they turn around and say, well, you know what? I'm not. The guy from the White House correspondent from Playboy. Yes, I said Playboy. I don't know. I never really
Playboy?
Read.
Playboy?
Playboy.
Wait a minute. How? Okay.
You know.
This is insane.
So I never knew they had a White House correspondent.
Neither did I. Well, you know what?
They
probably came in during the Clinton era.
He was... You're right. You heathen. The thing is, he was whining the other day about, you know, oh, you're besmirching us, you're smearing us, and you're not calling us.
If he works for Playboy and he's talking about being besmirched?
I did see a thing in the feed recently that Playboy is going back to nude because it just their sales fell off hysterically since they stopped showing
really?
Nude pictures.
No, yeah, really? No? Oh, my gosh. What a shock.
So, anyhow... But I'm saying these people are acting. Now, I happen to have somebody that I converse with. Not deep, you know, deep state, you know, just somebody on the White House press corps that I converse with. Well, it's more like a click-like thing, you know, but once in a while a little repartee.
Right.
On the White House press corps. And... the big thing is that if you're from the fake media, you're all outraged about this. The rest are either happy about it or the majority just don't care.
That's right.
We're here for our briefing. And that's where it goes to Sarah Huckabee. They were saying, you know, we're here to find out what's going on for the American people. It's our job. And, you know, it's like... we come out here and we try and brief you, and the next thing you know, you're asking us some baloney question, about something that has nothing to do with what we just told you. And that's fine. You want answers to some questions, but could you at least listen to the briefing first?
I know.
And it's like, oh, you know, they're stabbing the media. I have very little respect, and I know I represent a big, big chunk of the American people in
that's
this.
Right,
and
yeah.
It's not just that I'm... you know, I'm not polishing my own apple here. I mean, seriously. The American people are tired of it. Get over it. What about immigration? What about health care?
Yep.
What about the wall? What about jobs?
But you understand, this is their plan. They want to mire him down... in a muddy type of atmosphere, which prevents him from getting any of his policies pushed through. Obstruction. But the thing is that they think that this is going to work. And the American people who have listened to these people for decades and have been scolded by these people and have been basically, you know, dragged through the mud themselves, we have had it. And the American people have had it. One, we're not listening. So they have to be even more outrageous. Two, Trump, we elected him because of his big mouth. You want to say big mouth? Or his courage?
Big mouth.
His willingness to tell it like it is. That's why we elected him. And that bothers
He's got
me.
An elephant. His elephant mouth is writing checks. But his elephant butt can cash him.
Exactly. Exactly. So basically the media is hand in hand with the Dems on this. And you know, and yesterday when this tweet came out, you had Dianne Feinstein and Pelosi out there going, well, this isn't a president. A president shouldn't act like this. Oh, well, should they act like Bill Clinton, who was had a whole bunch of sexual assaults? Is that their idea of a president? Give me a break. Or, I mean, they completely ignored all this stuff. And now all of a sudden they're outraged.
Or for that matter.
Knock it off.
You know, or for that matter, St. John Kennedy.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Actually, he didn't go out there saying that he was the, you know, he was the innocent little boy.
Oh, I know that.
You know what I mean?
And a lot of it didn't come out until after he was gone.
Right.
I get
so,
it.
But the thing is, it's like, you know, he didn't flaunt this stuff.
They didn't say anything. Where were they? You know, I mean, granted, it was back in the days when we had people that you could almost trust. Walter Cronkite, John Chancellor.
Yeah. No,
Dave
Pressman
passed the other day, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But how much
outrage was there over Chappaquiddick?
Oh, God, no. There was nothing. Oh, poor Teddy, that he had to go through that. Oh, my gosh. You know. So I really think that a lot of this stuff is, part of the plot. To keep him down in the mud, and he's not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's going on. He gave his speech about our energy policy yesterday, and a lot of it is going to be removing the regulations on drilling and coal mining, and I think it's wonderful because it puts us back up there again, folks.
Waters of America, or Waterways of America, he's going to undo a lot of those regulations, allowing agriculture, because agriculture took a nosedive. Under those regulations.
Remember, like in Fresno, Fresno, California, they had to stop. They could not do irrigation from this one waterway because they thought they found this little tiny minnow or something there. And all these farmers, they were losing their property. They were, you know, it's like, oh, for God's sake, people, come on. But anyway, but Trump is going on. Today he's meeting with the president of South Korea. He had a very good meeting with the prime minister of India the other day.
I understand that worked out very
well. That worked out very, very well. This is who we need in the White House. We do not need a politician. Much to the disappointment of people like Paul Ryan and John McCain and McConnell and the rest of those morons, they're politicians.
They're the establishment.
Donald Trump is not. Yeah, they're politicians. That's all they know how to do. They know how to pass the buck. They know how to whitewash things and be noncommittal and line their pockets with our money. That's what they know how to do.
You remember the famous "the buck stops here" sign?
Yep, Harry Truman.
I think what the president should do is get a sign on his desk that say, "Many trillions of dollars stop here," or "Many trillions of bucks stop here."
Yep. Exactly. But we have that going on, but, you know, so I think we covered a few topics here in this one, but you know what? Nancy Pelosi, is she or is she not having some sort of mental episode? And I mean that seriously. Seriously. I'm not saying just because she's a Democrat she's crazy, but What is going on here is that the woman...
Start there.
we can start there. But, you know, the things that are happening when she sits and he's giving a press conference and all of a sudden she stops and she stares blank-eyed at the people there and can't get back on track.
Let me see if I can help with this.
Okay.
Because, I mean, she's absolutely, I mean, if you've ever watched some of her press conferences and some of her stuff on the campaign trail, the last 3-4 campaigns, not all her screws are as tight as they should be. You know, nobody put a torque wrench on her screws recently, that's for sure, not in the last 20 years.
Right.
First of all. Second of all, I'm gonna divulge to people that I am indeed, ever since the strokes, I am indeed on medication for a seizure disorder called absence seizures. It's absence seizures, but I got seizures. But I got diagnosed in Maine, and they have that heavy French thing, so it's absence seizures. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, I basically just lose track of reality and time, and my eyes kind of glaze over. And you know, but they put me on this pill, and it's cheap. It's been around for 100 years, and I take the pill, and I haven't had a seizure since. So I think maybe, you know, unless it's contraindicated with other medications she's taken, maybe it's time, because that's exactly what it looked like to me when I watched the video.
Really?
It looked exactly, she looked exactly to me the way Debbie described to me that I looked before I got on the medication.
Wow.
No, I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV, but I would have, if I were her doctor and he listens to us, not that he does, but if he did, he'd go, oh, yeah, hey, good idea. Let me check her out for that.
Yeah.
You know,
well, don't you
I'm serious.
No, I agree with you completely, but don't you think maybe somebody in her family should say, you know, maybe we should take a look at her? I mean, it's becoming more and more evident that she's having some sort of problem.
You know, San Fran, Grand Nan, you know, time to come home.
Wow.
You know, city by the bay, you know.
They're crying out for you, lady.
Your left marbles in San Francisco, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But, yes. Oh, hi, kitty.
Oh, my kitty. Yeah. Chinny Pud.
No, I think it's a, and it's the, you know, we used to talk back years ago when we were early on in this. We used to talk about Bush derangement syndrome, and now, of course, there's Trump derangement syndrome.
But this is the way the liberals act. This
Obama
is it.
There was
no Obama derangement syndrome. I'll be honest, we pointed out the facts of what he was doing and how it was in complete contradiction to the Constitution. You know?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, by the way, you know, just to make sure that let's get something straight about Obama. A lot of his legacy outside of Obamacare was executive orders.
Oh, yeah, most of it
was. Yes, which can be and is being completely reversed.
So he's out of a legacy.
Yeah.
Legislatively, he doesn't have much as far as legacy is concerned.
That's right, he doesn't. I mean, because don't forget, this thing with DACA and everything else, the bathrooms and all this other stuff, and everything was executive order. And Trump came in and said, I don't think so. But Trump is trying to ensure that we get laws.
This morning, Texas, along with the 9 other states, are threatening to sue the feds.
For what?
If the DACA is not reversed immediately.
Well, I think it should be, because this is
I think it should already have been, but
exactly.
That's me.
Yeah, no, it should have already been. But...
And...
go ahead.
You know, there's a major bunch of stuff going on today on immigration within the hallowed halls of Congress.
Yep. The House yesterday passed the Kate's bill, and I understand you have a little bit of a problem with that. Why?
Yeah, I'm against it.
Why?
Because we're taking people that ought not be here in the first place,
mm-hmm.
or ought not have been here in the second place, or third place,
okay,
that have committed violent crimes up to and including killing people,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to take and house them at taxpayer expense. You know, if they were going to put him in old Sheriff Joe's place there in the desert, I'd say, yeah, all right, fine. But they're going to go to Club Fed, you know, where it's going to cost us, what is the current thing, $125,000 a year?
Yeah, that's
to keep,
about
you know
it.
What kind of college education you can buy for $125,000 a year?
That's true. That is true.
And they're going to be in air conditioning, and they're going to be, all right, look, nobody wants to go to prison. I get it.
But it's probably better than where they were living.
They're going to have it all. They're going to have it just fine, and they can have all the drugs and booze and everything else they want, and cell phones and stuff. It all gets smuggled in. You know, we know this from from specials from places like CNN and Nat Geo and stuff that we know this stuff. You know, PBS. You know, we know these things. So, you know, we're going to pay for them for 5 years. That's over $500,000. To house somebody for 5 years, and then we're going to deport them, in which case they'll probably come back.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my point. We take them back, drop them off, mm-hmm. whether it's Nogales, whether it's TJ, wherever you want to put mm-hmm. them, all right? You take them and you drop them off. Before you drop them off, and this is going to sound absolutely horrid, people are going to, we're going to get mail, oh my God, tattoo them. Mm-hmm. They've got tattoos all over them anyway.
That's true. That is true.
Put a number on their arm or a symbol on their arm or something like that, and you do it in a tattoo ink that'll show up under UV or IR or whatever wavelength light, you know, or you got to use polarized glasses or what have yeah. you. And if they and if they're found in this country again,
yeah.
Now you drop them off in TJ or Nogales or, you know, wherever. From 15,000 feet off the back of a C-130. And, oh, that was a knapsack, not a parachute?
Oops. Yeah. No, okay. I can understand why you feel that way and in a way I do. But we have to take at least one step. The other step that they are taking is they are going into the cities and the towns and they are rounding up these MS-13s and these other gangs and they are deporting them. So...
Yep.
I can see your frustration with it, but that combined with the, you know, the roundups and getting these people out, we got to do something. And the federal government has done nothing in the past. And I'm talking about Bush too.
You know, if all these people who go and stand around with signs and how terribly we are, how bad we are, how awful we are, how this, that, and the other thing. If we're so terrible and we're so bad and we're so, you know, ugly and stuff like that in this country, why do so many million people a year keep clamoring across desert to get here or swimming across ocean to get here?
I know.
You know, it's the kind of thing that look, I never saw in all the years, and I remember the Bay of Pigs and I remember the missile crisis. I remember the one wet foot legislation.
Right.
I never saw anybody in an inner tube paddling towards Cuba.
Nope. except our murderers.
Well, again, you know, we don't. And people point this out all the time. I'm not the first, and I won't be the last. But you know, you could get 5 years in prison getting caught. If they catch you sneaking into Mexico and they catch you, out in the desert, they put you in prison.
Well, what about that guy?
Mexican prison is not.
I know. What about that guy that actually drove into Mexico? Remember the Marine, former Marine.
Mexico. Yep, and Mexico has a wall.
Mm-hmm. On the other side, yep.
People go, they're down at the base of Mexico. They have a wall.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I guess they can't call it racist, you know, because I guess they're all Latino, you know, or Latinx or whatever they're calling themselves nowadays. Pull the funding from the sanctuary cities, which is also up into, I think, today or tomorrow. Today, I guess it would have to be. Pull the funding.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not, you've had this and this and this and this guy and this two guys and this gang and this da, 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 and you didn't hold them for a detainer. Guess what? You know that, you know, $50 million you wanted for this or that or the other thing? Guess again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that easy. It's just that easy. These things, look, it's like now, I know that, I don't know about New Hampshire. But Maine is facing a government shutdown.
No, we're doing okay.
As a matter of fact, I think it's today is the deadline.
Well, that and Illinois, too. Connecticut?
Illinois is having a problem. Actually, Connecticut is about ready to file. They just got downgraded to junk bond status.
Do you know what these idiots are doing too? They're building a third casino in Connecticut.
Well, they're not building anything. That's the First Nations.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is that when they first wanted passage of Mohegan Sun and the other one, I can't remember the other name, They said that would really make a dent in the taxes in Connecticut. They said it would really, you know, it would really help education and the tax base.
They always say that.
I know, and we know it's not true. Take a look at Atlantic City, for God's sake. I mean, the only...
That's how I base it.
Yeah, you have Las Vegas, and that's what it's supposed to be. It's a place where people are supposed to go have fun, lose their money, do it. It's not for states to rely upon as a moneymaker, as funding for the general fund. Oh, a casino is a business, and it always has to be on the side of the house. So anybody, yep. and it's like, I don't care how much you're taxing these damn casinos, you're obviously not using the money properly. So they were going to put in a third casino. They're giving the red light for that, the green light for that, and yet they're going down the drain.
Way back when, and being a New Jersey native, way back when that report came out called Johnny Can't Read.
Mm-hmm.
It's famous. It's available online for free. It's an ebook, you know. A report that said Johnny can't read. And in New Jersey, it was particularly bad, so they decided they needed a sales tax. So we had the penny tax put in for education.
Right.
Well, they went a few years, and Johnny still couldn't read, so they increased the sales tax. I think they increased it to 3 cents, if memory serves.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided it wasn't enough, so they created the lottery. That directly assists education.
Right, I remember
and,
that.
Well, that wasn't working, so they boosted the sales tax.
Right.
I think it's 7% now.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny still can't read. Well, then they brought in the casinos.
What about the income
saying,
tax?
Saying, oh, it'll directly support education. And the income tax. And all these things. And look, there were great schools in New Jersey. I went to a few.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not working. It's not working.
No.
And Johnny still can't read.
No. Nope.
And the problem, the same thing in Connecticut. They play fast and loose with money.
Mm-hmm.
And now their credit rating is junk bond status.
Yep.
Right? Illinois is close. Right? Maine, right now, the budget is being held up by some Democrat people are holding the budget hostage. Over, I don't remember how many dollars it was that were supposed to go to a specific. Oh, they wanted to take, and I think this is true in another state as well. They wanted to take a certain amount of health insurance fund money and put it towards addiction services. And they're holding the entire thing hostage. Well, let me tell you something. Paula Page is no longer my governor. I don't live there anymore. But he signed an executive order to put everybody on emergency preparedness. And, of course, Department of Corrections, you know, of course, Department of Health, you know. But one of the things he mandated was the state parks will remain open.
Mm-hmm.
They always hold, whether it's the state, the Fed, or anybody else, they always hold the state parks hostage. They always hold, you know, all these things. But they... You know, it's like, yeah, they want the people to get up in arms. The problem is, in this day and age, people are getting up in arms.
Mm-hmm.
They are getting up in arms. They are ticked off. It's not just a question of listening to the few loony liberal left that are outside with signs and wearing strange hats and costumes anymore. You know, I've said before, and I'll say again, yeah, emailing your congressman or woman or tweeting to them or Facebooking to them is good. It's good. It's not as good as a phone call. Findyourlegislator.org, you know, from the League of Women Voters. You just type in your zip code. It'll tell you everything from dog catcher up to President of the United States.
You know what, though?
And
I don't know.
What's even better is a handwritten letter from you to your legislator, handwritten with a stamp on it.
Yeah, that's something that isn't done any longer. It should be.
Right? Yeah.
It should be. No, I agree with you. now you've got me thinking here.
I do. Obviously. Is that what that smoke is?
Yeah, that's what the smoke is. Let
the magic smoke out.
Yeah, I know. You know, we have, though, in the state and also in the federal, you have people that don't give a darn. They don't care about their constituents. They have an agenda, and it doesn't include their
constituents.
That's
obvious.
Yeah, it doesn't include their constituents, even at the state level. Because they really gave a hoot, you know, the people in Connecticut would have less taxes. New Jersey, less taxes. For some insane reason, they think that they have to fund every single project that somebody that comes down the line, put in by a state legislator who says, we have to help these people. Up here in New Hampshire, I am telling you right now, it's the quote-unquote opioid crisis and addiction. Every night on the news, we have more and more stories. And a lot of state funds are now going toward that. How it's going to affect our bottom line, I do not know. But I'll tell you this much. Those damn Narcan shots or whatever the heck the dose is, they're like $600 a piece. And they don't pay them back.
That's overblown. It's actually about $35.
Yeah, but still.
They buy them. No, they buy them directly from the drug companies and stuff.
But you know what?
If you buy one at the drugstore, it's, you know.
Okay, then I'm wrong on that point. But the thing is that you have these people overdosing constantly. The same person. They're overdosing constantly. And we have to pay for it, and I object to that. I mean, this is something that they do to themselves. How this is going to affect our bottom line in the long run, I don't know. But, you know, I mean, it's like, this is what we have to deal with. And, you know, it's ridiculous. This is getting ridiculous.
The thing is, I always watch these reports. Excuse me. And there are counties in West Virginia that have more prescriptions for OxyContin than, like, the rest of the state. You know, and there are counties in Kentucky that have, you know, more, you know, OxyContin prescriptions than New Hampshire.
Why?
You know, kind of a thing. I don't know.
I don't know why.
I don't know. Well, you know, they do call it hillbilly heroin, you know. So, you know, what's going on down there? You know, instead of worrying about, you know, some grandma who broke her hip in New Hampshire or Pennsylvania or Maine, you know, or anywhere else for that matter, you know, Nebraska, you know, and making all these laws so tight and stringent that they can't get, you know, pain relief. Why don't we see if we could figure out how so many prescriptions are getting written and filled in one county in Kentucky or one county in West Virginia?
I had no idea that was going on. I had no idea that was going on. Up here, this is what the dialogue is. This is what they're saying. They're saying that, all these kids that are being put on opioids for one reason or another, they hurt their ankle or they broke their ankle or their arm or something, and, you know, and it's like, and then these kids, they go on to other drugs. Okay, wait a minute. Back up. If you are a child and you've broken your arm or your leg and you're in a lot of pain, your doctor puts you on these medications, your parents should be monitoring when you take this medication, how much you take this medication, how much of it you take. Your parents are responsible for you as far as that is concerned.
You know,
okay? So everybody's acting like this is just it's like it just descends on these kids and all of a sudden they're addicted. No. Okay, so why should I be responsible for your child? It's your kid. Your kid breaks his arm or leg and is on opioids and he starts misusing them. That's on you, not on me. And if he goes on to heroin and cocaine, again, that's on you. It's not on me. However, I have to wind up paying it because you guys, you haven't told your kids that drugs are bad.
Well, so, first of all, not for anything, but there's nobody under 40 that has ever gone to school that didn't hear at least once a day drugs are bad, you know, period. Education on drugs and alcohol and stuff like that have been. Well, look, the other thing I see is that this. You get a six-year-old falls off the slide at the playground and breaks his arm.
Right.
You take him to the hospital. He's crying. You set the arm. Oh, you know, you give him a little something to, you know, A, get him to stop crying.
Right.
You know, and B, you know, take the pain away, especially that acute pain right away.
Right.
So, okay, so you go to the doctor. You know, you go to the doctor. He sets the arm. You get a little shot. All right. And then, you know, maybe, you know, either later that day if it happens in the morning or the next day, you give him another little shot, you know, and it stops the pain a little bit. Give him maybe a little, you know, lidocaine in the joint or something. But a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old kid doesn't need OxyContin.
No.
Unless he broke his arm to the point where his radius is sticking out through his skin, shredded, bleeding.
I agree with you on that point. No, I agree with you. But, you know, a lot of
I broke my ankle in the Army because of the way I landed after leaving a moving airplane. And we were dropped into an area that was partly wet swamp and partly dry land. Mm-hmm. And it was a night drop. I didn't see where it was dry land and where, and I broke my ankle in two places.
Oh, my God.
So they casted it up, and I had to walk around in a cast for 6 weeks. And they gave me APCs, which were all-purpose capsules,
right?
Which were aspirin, Tylenol, and caffeine. Uh-huh. That's what they gave me for pain.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I got by.
Yeah.
Several years later, I think I've described that accident trying to hold three large dogs on leashes and close my front door. And instead of reaching for the knob, I grabbed for the edge of the door, and they pulled and pulled. You know, the door closed on my. Oh, well, everybody who's got three big dogs knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, gosh.
And I went down to Overlook Hospital in Summit, and they said it, you know. And I went to, you know, orthopedic next morning, and he says, what do you want for pain? I said, I don't know. Advil should work just fine. You know, he says, oh, you think you can get by with Advil? I said, yeah. He says, I broke a bone. You know, okay, fine. So I just took Advil.
You're a tough cookie, though. You're a tough cookie, Lou.
Day or two.
You know, but you're
well,
a tough
you know, and then there was this one instance with a set of diamond plate steps, an overfilled basket of laundry, and a yellow lab puppy.
Oh.
Right, I broke my tailbone.
Ouch!
Folded it right over, and the doctor said there really isn't. And I tell you something, I've broken a couple of bones already, but you ain't never felt what it feels like to break your tailbone. Trust
Ouch.
Me.
Ouch. There's really nothing they can do for that, can they? It's not like they can set it.
Well, it's not that they can set it. They pushed it up out of the way, but they really can't set it. So, you know, what did they give me then? They gave me Tylenol 3. That's when I found that I couldn't take Tylenol 3. Because back in those days, it was like, if you wanted something like hydrocodone or oxycodone or something like that, you had to be, you know, really, like I said, you know, compound fractures sticking out of every, you know, both your arms and both your legs to get it in those days. And, you know, that they gave me, I don't remember what it was, Tylenol 3, but then they found out that I couldn't take it because every time I took one, I heaved it right back up.
Uh-huh.
So I called the doctor and told him. And that's when they put me, I guess it was on hydrocodone.
Okay.
I don't remember. And they gave me, I don't know, 60 of them or something. I think I took four.
Yeah. All right.
No, I went like 4 days and, you know, I was like, okay, well, it's going to be uncomfortable. They told me 8 weeks, but it's not so bad.
Right.
You know, I mean,
But you, like I said before, though, you're a tough cookie. You really are. You can take a lot of pain. There are other people out there that can't. Like, you know. I don't know.
Well, but again, I fail to believe that somebody's on opioids for, I don't know, car crash or, you know, industrial accident, whatever, for 4 weeks or something like that. And they are so strung out that the very next the doctor says, well, no, I'm not going to give you any more. And on their way home from the doctor, they stop and find a pusher.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I look at it like, no, you can't be that addicted that fast.
I know.
You know, but now even here in Pennsylvania, I'm like, I still don't have a pain management physician, or I have one, but I don't like the guy. Looking into a couple of other ones, and well, I looked into a couple of other ones, and I think I have that under control right now.
Okay.
But somebody turned to me and said, well, if all you need is, you know, a refill on your hydrocodone, Mm-hmm. I said, well, no, I don't need that. I mean, they give me 30 days worth, and they last me, you know, 90 or 100 days. You know, I take one if it's raining really hard. You know what I mean? I take a half of one. It's not like, but I'm saying if after all this time I can take one on a bad rainy day or on a day when it's really windy because the pressure variations are terrible, and get by, I don't get how somebody.
Oh no! Obviously, we just lost the satellite feed. That sucks.
Not sure. There we go. Okay, we're good. Okay. So, folks,
Gremlin,
we just had another glitch.
Gremlin.
We had a glitch. So, this is a continuation. My computer just went off for some reason. You know, I don't know. Don't know. So, anyway.
It's the Russians.
It's the Russians. You know, I keep telling Putin not to do things like that. You know, people still are starting to talk here, you know. Or either it's NSA and they're trying to get back at me for something. But I don't know.
That's it.
It's my path. My old agency,
buddies.
Right? This ain't up. Time to take this lady out. So anyway, before we got so rudely interrupted, we were talking about the fact that physicians do overprescribe and write too many scripts. And actually, yes, you can see it even out of the mainstream. If you go into celebrity, how many celebrities have died? And you find out that they have these, you know, tons and tons of these opioids. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, they basically have, you know, closet full. Excuse me. But anyway.
Well, there's that. There's that and
now.
The fact that we're fighting all of this. And yet, you know, while we were away, yes. I happened to be catching. I was talking about Paul LePage, and he's addressing the state up there about the budget right now. They've got 12 hours until shutdown.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, "Hey, it's not my fault. It used to be part of the Assembly and part of the Senate, and they'd hold hearings and public hearings and this, that, and the other thing. And now it's the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate, and they go in the back room at 2 o'clock in the morning and they come up with this budget and say, sign it or we're done."
That's right. Yeah.
And it doesn't work that way.
That's right.
So anyhow,
all right.
But he has a problem up there with that kind of stuff too. Mm-hmm. But when I was a much younger man, mm-hmm. I used to look around and say to myself, you know, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, you know, they didn't die of alcohol. Now, it may have been complicit.
Yeah, exactly.
John Belushi, all these people, all these celebrities that are dead. It's all drugs.
All drugs.
And 99% of the time, it's opioids.
That's right. That's right.
You know, you would think that this stuff would go away. You know, I found out something else when I was still living in Maine, mm-hmm. that if I were willing to get on a boat, which I'm not, a ferry ride over to Prince Edward Island,
mm-hmm.
I could get all of my prescriptions for something on the order of 10% what I pay for them here in this country, which I find rude.
Yeah, I know. No, I agree.
It's been explained to me. It's been explained to me, not adequately, but it's been explained to me. Well, the same thing with Mexico. You see these things all the time, these online pharmacies, and they're in, you know, Guadalajara or something, you know. And, so all these things are cheaper in Mexico. So what are they doing? They're bringing them into this country.
Mm-hmm.
So build the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Take the supply mm-hmm. side out. Mm-hmm. Take the supply side out.
That's right.
You know, take the supply side out.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So anyway, Europe is quickening its descent into becoming an Islamic caliphate. A few things are happening over there. There has been a report that Frankfurt, Germany, is no longer majority native. They are now the minority. That's number one. Paris, right outside of Paris, a suburb of Paris, during the Ramadan, the call to prayer, which was like 11 at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, and then they would all stand around and talk for 2 hours. And the mayor said, well, we have to appease them. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Italy! Oh my gosh. So many people. And if you look at all these ships, there are no women on them, folks. So don't give me this garbage that they're fleeing.
The widows and orphans. Yeah, the widows and orphans.
There's no widows, orphans, and old people. It's all men. And if you take a look what is going on in Italy now the Italian people are starting to really protest. And it's not going to be pretty. Because I think the Italians have had it.
I think the king is probably...
This series,
I think the king is probably going to turn to them and say, you know, to the good fellows over there, he's going to turn and say, you fix this. You know,
I hope so.
He's not going to turn to the army. He's not going to turn to the governor. He's going to turn to the wise guys.
God, you know, but they just keep.
Well, you notice it's not happening.
13,000 came in over a week. 13,000, for God's sake! What are they, nuts?
But they're not going to. Well, first of all, they didn't come in the week that everybody was there, including our president. Second of all. It's not happening in Poland or the Czech Republic.
No, or Japan or Hungary. It's not happening in Hungary either. Because Poland basically said to the head of the EU, no way. No way, we don't need you. And I agree.
He said, we don't have these problems in Poland. Why is that? Well, because we don't have all those refugees in Poland.
That's right. They're not refugees.
Now I saw
Lou. I have to take you to task. They were not refugees. They were invaders. They're invaders.
Oh, okay. No. I stand correct. No, I agree.
They're invaders under the guise of being refugees.
Mondo something released a map of Paris in the last few days, mm-hmm. and it shows the no-go zones.
They're increasing.
And it says if you're looking for a place to stay, if you're looking for a place to stay or a place to live or a place to see the sights, and these are where the no-go zones are. Of course, Milo Yiannopoulos took it and redid it, and he put instead of the moon, the crescent and star, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. That they use, he put little Amish buggies and said, "Watch out for those Amish."
Oh my
God!
Did he really?
Yeah. The other thing, Sweden just said, it was Sweden, yeah, I think
yes,
it was, Sweden. Yeah, it was Sweden, said something like,
help.
One out of three of the people returning, one out of three of the migrants in Sweden right now have returned from battle with ISIS.
Wait a minute, why are they allowing them to return?
Everybody does. Nobody has anything on their... You know, they come, they have a British passport, and they go to a known ISIS part of Syria or something. They come back, and they see the stamp. Nobody says, well, geez, what were you doing over there?
You know, it's amazing, the Brits.
Nobody said they just stamp it and back in.
That's amazing, the Brits. The Brits will not allow Robert Spencer or Pamela Geller over there because they say they're talking hate speech. But, oh, my gosh. They let these people who are eventually going to turn on the British people and kill them because it is their duty, they'll let them back in the country.
Yeah, they're chasing down the people who use hate speech and prosecuting them and putting them in jail.
Do you know?
But they're not, you know, they're not chasing down. What was it? 3,000 people were on the list that were under, you know, surveillance because they had, you know, intelligence on these people. 3,000 people. And 500 of them were on the actual, like, be careful of these guys list. And no, you know, and this guy said, oh, you know, Muslims this or Muslims that. And they busted him.
Jeez.
You know, I mean, they've got Katie Hopkins over there, which thank God they do.
Yeah. I'm wondering when they're going to put her in jail. You know?
I don't know. I think probably because of the fact that she's...
Wait a minute, in Great Britain... In London,
yeah.
a British man has been jailed after hitting a Muslim teen with a slab of bacon, right? And he's been, let's say, 6 months in jail for assault. Are you kidding me?
Well, I don't promote running around slapping people, whether it's with bacon or, you know,
But you have to
buck a lot. I don't recommend.
These people are desperate now. It's getting to
the point. Getting desperate by the minute.
Yes, it's getting to the point where they can't rely on their own, you know, legislators to help them out, or the police. They can't. They can't rely on them.
Nope.
So this is what's happening.
Nope. Well, there is a movement among, and it's not among the people. It's among the Scotland Yard and bobbies and Metro Police and stuff like that. A movement to say, give us guns. We're coppers. We went through the academy. Give us a gun. You know, we'll take the training. No problem. If we need extra training, we'll take it. You know, and I think it had to do a lot with the egg on the face that the Metro PD faced when the London Bridge attack happened, and you could see bobbies fleeing the area instead of running, you know, because look, cops run towards danger, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. If they're running away, there's a reason. And I don't think it has anything to do with the heart or gut of the person who joined the Metro PD. I think it has to do with, you know, the simple fact they're not equipped for it.
It's
you know,
ridiculous.
And
wait a minute.
There's a...
Okay. In this country, I have to say, down in Virginia, Prince William County, outside the town of Nokesville, I know the area because I live in Manassas, and Nokesville is right outside of Manassas. Rural country, completely rural. Homes, some nice homes, farms and everything. Well, the Prince William County Board of Supervisors has just allowed a 22,000 square foot mosque to be built there. The hearing went on for like 8 hours. And 8 to 10 hours. And the guy who was the counselor at large, the supervisor at large, a Corey Stewart, who happens to be a quote-unquote Republican, bullied the rest of the supervisors, basically, even though they were repeatedly voting it down. He would come out and say something else. Now, one thing about this guy, Corey Stewart, is that he wants to be governor of Virginia. And it looks as if that he is hand in hand with all these Muslim groups down there. So he basically sold out the people of this area. That's what he did.
I don't know enough about it.
I do.
But I'll tell you, Mike, just on the evidence that you've given me, for me to examine that evidence.
Get on Pamela Gellin.
Here's the thing.
Because what happened was is that...
Well, I can't right
now
because I'm
on
the opposite side.
Later on. I think you should be knowledgeable about this because...
I get a lot of stuff from Pamela Geller. I get a lot of stuff from Atlas Shrugs, which is...
this guy who lives down there wrote her a letter.
Here's my take.
What happened.
Here's my take on the mosque issue. Mm-hmm. You have to grassroots that.
What do you mean grassroots?
You can't legislate that. You can't have your... legislators and you know, supervisors and all this other stuff involved. You have to grassroots that. If your community doesn't want the mosque there, you have to get every, you know, 18 to 90 year old person into the county courthouse. You've got to get everyone. You can't just have a few people with signs, you know, a thing. Because here's where I see the issue. And you're not going to like this, but the First Amendment applies to everyone or no one. All right. If they wanted to build a church, great. If they wanted to build a synagogue, great. If they want to build a mosque, great. Now, you and I know that stuff takes place in those mosques and madrasas all that other stuff.
I'll tell you right now what this is, though. There is not a Muslim community in that area. When churches are built,
it's a building, and they will become things.
They come from all over, and this again is Islam expanding, Luke. This is completely different. I'm sorry, Islam is on a different level than Christianity and Judaism and the Baha'i and everything else. When those religions build a temple, synagogue, whatever, a church, it's because the people are already there. It's to serve their local parish. Islam is not like that.
Right.
Never has been. And there's not too many. You're gonna see, people aren't going to want to have a house next to near a mosque. So, you know, their property values are going to plummet. Another thing this guy did, though, is that he would not allow the churches or the synagogues in the area to go into the public's sewer system at taxpayer expense. They always had to pay. The mosque.
Okay.
He gave them access at taxpayer expense.
Well, you know something? If he's running for governor, then, you know, Virginia is a blue
is
state.
There's no. It's screwed up.
But it's got a lot of red spots on it.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel so bad because I used to live, look, I used
look
to
at
live
it,
in Virginia. I loved Virginia.
I look at it like,
oh, my God, I did.
So did I. Virginia is for lovers. Yeah. I mean, you know, I get it. You know, I lived there for a while. But here's the thing. They have to. They dumped how much money into this clown Ossoff's election campaign in Georgia 6?
True. He lost.
You know, then the people have to turn around.
But let me just tell you. The board of supervisors basically has the last word on it, you know. It's just like our board of selectmen up here. They have the last word on it.
I guess Virginia doesn't
can
have...
go through, but everything that happened here, I was reading the account, everything that happened was just totally dirty.
Then the people in that county or town... Because I don't know how they work it. You know, some states have initiative and referendum, and some do not. In Maine, we did. I don't know about Pennsylvania yet. But the thing is, then what they need to do is they need to petition the government for redress.
Right. I don't know if they have that capability, and, but, you know.
Well, you know something? I got news for you. According to our founding fathers, I don't care what state, city, town, village, hamlet you live in, you have the right to petition your government for redress of grievances.
I would think so.
And if they've got special treatment or something, look, you don't have to say, hey, tear down this mosque. All you have to do is turn around and say, hey, we have to pay for sewage. They have to pay for sewage. Mm-hmm. We have to pay for, you know, paving a parking lot and get permits and environmental action programs and all this other stuff. They have to go by that.
You know,
if everybody wants equal protection under the law means equal responsibility under the law. And if this guy's miscarrying that law, then he needs to be recalled as a supervisor or a selectman or whatever his title is. And that's that. And that's up to the people in Prince William County.
Right.
That's not up to, you know, Hollywood stars. That's up to the people of the county.
I agree with you on that. But this, again, this is the Islamization of the world. This is part of the Islamization of the world. Now, if these people, you know, and this is the, when Islam was formed in the 7th century, it was in direct response to Christianity and Jesus Christ. It was. Everything that comes out about Islam is against Christianity and Judaism. So, Islam is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And you have to stop spreading it. And the way they're getting around is they're saying, oh, well, you're being prejudiced against a religion. It's not a religion. It's a 7th century culture. And I know I've said this many, many times before. And perhaps we should go on now with something else because...
Well, we do have the travel restriction.
Yes, that's it. It's about time. And liberals did try a 11th hour stop. It didn't work. And, of course, they're now on the bandwagon. Oh, my God, you're going to separate families and people and so on and so forth. And
they're already separated.
I know. It's just...
90 out of 100 are battle-aged men. Able-bodied battle-aged men. They throw a few widows and orphans in there for photo ops. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just abjectly silly.
I know that.
You know, and oh, you're picking out a religion. Well, you know something? The three biggest Muslim nations on the planet are not included in that travel restriction.
Right. Did you hear what Turkey did? Erdogan in Turkey. Did you hear what he did?
Yes, I did.
Yes. 50 churches and monasteries are now considered state property.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
How very Henry VIII.
Well, my thing is that why is this country still part of NATO? I think that the NATO status of Turkey should be reviewed.
I think it should be revoked.
Yes.
But then again, I've been saying for a long time. I've been saying for a long time when, especially after the. After President Trump went to the NATO meeting, mm-hmm. which he's going to the G20 soon, and he will, as a matter of fact, the new ambassador to NATO is going to be Kay Bailey Hutchins from Texas.
Really, I did not know that. Oh,
yes, or that's good. Who he's got nominated. I guess they got to go through confirmation and stuff
wow.
yet. But yeah,
wow.
he did not pick a weenie for that
no,
one.
He did not. She. Oh man. He's somebody with
but
a
he's expected
voice.
To say, he's expected to say, oh, our commitment to NATO is as strong as it ever was, mm-hmm. and you know stuff like that. But
on the other hand,
you got to start. But on the other hand, Turkey, you're out, you know, kind of thing.
Exactly.
Look, I don't know how NATO expanded to what it became in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, NATO was. You know, some of the Low Countries, some of Scandinavia, England, Ireland, Scotland, France, Portugal, Spain, you know, Italy, you know, that's who NATO was. You know, the next thing you know, we had Greece. The next thing you know, we got Turkey. The
that's
next
right.
thing you know, we got all the various stans and slavs and all that other
that
stuff.
Was in direct response to Russia and, I mean, the Soviet Union and their expansion. You know, it was basically a contest who's going to get more countries, NATO or the Warsaw Pact, you know? That's what that
yeah.
was. So we figured that we'd bring them under our umbrella and, you know, it would kind of put Soviets off from, you know, trying to do something nasty.
Yeah.
So basically,
so we ended up Albania.
About. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Albania, you know, Yugoslavia, you know, especially after, you know, got rid of Marshal Tito, you know, Armenia,
hey,
all these places,
you say about
which,
Tito,
you know, landlocked. You know.
The only thing you got to say about Tito is
he made the trains run on time.
No, he kept the peace. Seriously.
Oh, yeah, he
Yugoslavia
did.
Yugoslavia actually was a very vibrant country, and it was had good
yes.
economic. He did. It was. I mean, and don't forget, there were like three big groups there at the time, and they all used to tear each other apart. And he brought them together. And actually, Yugoslavia was beautiful until, you know,
it's not so much that he brought them together, but the first person, you know, on a dark street at night that said Tito sucks disappeared.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying.
You
I
know,
don't care how he
you know, like
them
Krzyzewski,
together, but he did
you know?
Bring them. Oh, jeez, Krzyzewski. Oh, jeez. But, you know, so, Lou, we've got the July 4th weekend coming up. And it falls on a Tuesday. And that's kind of weird.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so.
Well. You know, look, I'm happy. As a matter of fact, I mentioned to Debbie this morning, I said, 4th of July is our Independence Day,
mm-hmm.
Which means it should stay on the 4th of July.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Whatever day it falls on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, you know, so many holidays nowadays,
they've
you know, are Monday
yeah.
holidays.
Yeah.
You know, some of them have
yeah.
been perfect, and some of yeah, they're all Mondays, mm-hmm. You know, and that's nice in certain respects, but I think certain things, you know, like Independence
yeah,
Day.
No, that this is this you know? Is, no, yeah, it has to stay on the 4th because that's when the Declaration of Independence was signed, and you know, got to keep it on there. Got to keep it.
So every year, mm-hmm. with the exception of once every so many years, and it falls on the same day two times in a row or something, but you know, it. So Tuesday, Wednesday, what do I care?
Well, I know. But
Tuesday, Wednesday,
okay.
You know, it would be more convenient if it fell Monday. Which did it fall Monday last year or next year? I don't know. It moves.
Yeah, it does move.
You know.
But my town every year, at one of the town meeting halls, they gather together and they read the Declaration of Independence, and everybody's given a line. This year, I was not asked to do it. Too bad. And then we have an ice cream social afterwards. So it's really nice. It, you know, brings a lot of people together, and we sing Yankee Doodle Dandy. and we have a grand time.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. That's a nice thing that my town does.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure yet, because in the township I live in, it's really, I don't know how it's a township. It's more like a village, except it's spread out over enough land area, I guess. But there really isn't much. But then, you know, not too far from here, there are a couple of, as a matter of fact, one of the things I'd like to do is get down to the ABE area of Pennsylvania, Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, because one of the attractions this weekend is the Budweiser Clydesdales.
Right, yeah. Oh, wow. Sounds great.
Are doing their, yeah. And I'm a draft horse nut.
Ah.
I mean, regular horses hate me. I don't know why, but they do. You know, my uncle used to have horses stabled in Jersey, and, you know, they hate me.
What'd
regular
do,
horses,
pinch
they him? Don't like. No, I didn't do nothing. I, you know, just, they hate me. So, but that day I discovered draft horses, I was in my glory. Aww. Because.
But anyway,
I'd like to see those.
Yeah.
You know, there are other things, however, I'm concerned about.
What?
Independence Day being one of those days when we do elevate our awareness level.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, I mean, I'm certainly not going to be going through the Hudson Tubes over the weekend, you know, kind of a thing. I'd love to, but I'm a little too sane for that.
Yep.
And, oh, bless you. Somebody sneezy today.
Oh, okay.
The other thing that I'd like to bring up is the fact that this weekend, going between, I guess, today or tomorrow, mm-hmm. and Tuesday. Oh, bless you! There was a call for, what do they call it? Days of Fire? Protests and stuff like that by some of the Antifa crowds and the Occupy crowds.
Them
and
again?
The,
Anti-First
and,
Amendment.
You know something? Yeah, exactly. Anti-FA, Anti-First Amendment.
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Okay, now we are.
And now we're recording.
We did it again,
so
folks.
So that way nobody gets left out of the fact that my professional, my real-life, honest-to-goodness professional camera stand is of... It entered life as a candle holder for an Avon candle.
I love it. You know, I love
not
it.
Not that people see us video yet. We're working on that.
I know. Life keeps getting in the way.
It's just heck. It is. It's heck. I know.
I'm sorry.
But,
no, I really am. I would really want to. I want to take this another step up, but I can't.
Oh, so do I.
It's just so difficult. Oh, okay.
Oh, and you know what? Look, you've got a decent headset and a decent cam. I've got a decent cam if I light it correctly. My microphone obviously works. There's no reason why we can't. It's just a question of nailing it down with the software. I'd love to get into YouTube production, and if not YouTube, you know, Minds, you know, mm-hmm. someplace like that we could put it and not have to worry about, you know, demonetization or any
yeah,
of that
exactly.
kind of stuff.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, bands and things like that. But anyway, so right now, yes, we had a glitch earlier, and we picked it back up, and then we had to make arrangements to stop for a short time, a brief time, a few moments, mm-hmm. To allow, you know, life to intervene at the New Hampshire end.
That's right.
But now we're
me.
Back, and we're
oh, okay. No, it is my fault. That's right. Okay.
Oh, what are we doing?
No,
what, all
teasing,
of a sudden,
I'm
guilty
teasing.
Conscience? With you?
I know.
You know. So, but we're back, and for what it's worth, I'm still naked.
Oh, no!
You know, so,
Oh, my gosh! My eyes! My mind will never be the same.
Oh, come on. All you see is my guinea pig.
I know, I know.
You know, it's from the waist down you gotta worry about.
Exactly.
Palisades has the rise. Palisades.
Do you remember that? Oh, my gosh, yes.
I was just talking to my sister while we were apart there for a little while, and certain things come up every once in a while. You reminisce, you know. And Palisades came up, and Raceway Park,
well,
English Town, New Jersey.
Don't forget,
and,
I used to live in the town that Palisades Park was in. It straddled two towns, Cliffside Park and Fort Lee. And
I thought Palisades Park was in Pal Park.
No, it was not. It was on the Palisades. And that's why it was called Palisades Park, for those of you who don't know. And that was a place to go to. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, hell yes.
And do you know my
my
town used to have a my schools. We used to have a big parade, and all of the students used to get... I have pictures of this. Every school had their own color, okay? So all the girls, ours was like a yellow, mustard yellow. And we used to have T-shirts that we wore, and it had PS number 3 on it, because that was the number of our school. And there was also a PS number 4, 5, and 6. And you had to wear school colors, and you wore the T-shirt, and there were bands, and we all marched through the town, right? And we all wound up at Palisades Amusement Park. And that was our outing. It was our end of the year outing. It was wonderful. I have very fond memories.
I don't remember what colors my school, Our Lady of Great Agony, I don't remember what the school colors were.
Oh, you poor thing.
You know,
we were talking.
Well, and my cousins who went to St. Rita Marino, you know, and Our Lady of Perpetual Motion. You know, we all went to different schools.
So we were talking about 4th of July, and what we're doing on 4th of July.
Oh, 4th of July!
Yes.
Oh my goodness! I don't know what we're going to do yet, because one of the things I tried to do is figure out, because I had mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. That we didn't know exactly what, when, where, why, how, etc. As far as, but I did find a couple of things. First of all, down in the ABE area of Pennsylvania, the Budweiser Clydesdales are making their public appearance.
Yes.
And I love my big horses, and so we're going to try and take that in. And my sister, who I was just on the phone with while we were apart, is considering we'll all meet there. My brother-in-law, my sister. Myself and Debbie, and we can't take Jackie with us, unfortunately, because she gets let's just say nervous.
Is she afraid of the big doggies? That's what we call them.
No,
big doggies.
No, the big doggies. She'd probably get along just fine with the big doggies. She just doesn't get along with crowds of people.
Oh, that's understandable.
We can't take her.
A lot of
and,
dogs.
But so we're. Yeah, we're not sure, because we really haven't heard much in the way of fireworks yet, locally, mm-hmm. You know, as far as, like, booms and bangs and cracks and stuff like that. We do have a gun club, you know, not far from here, but that's just typical gunfire, and
right.
It's far enough away she doesn't even react. So we probably can't take her, but we'd like to go for at least an afternoon, mm-hmm. because it would be lovely to do something with our Independence Day.
Right. You do know.
But when you...
Sorry. I was going to tell you, we're talking about the Clydesdales, and there's a Budweiser plant up here in Merrimack.
Is there?
And they have Clydesdales there. They have the Clydesdales. And every so often, you know, they come out.
Yeah, you see.
And you see them.
I love the Clydes.
Beautiful.
I do. I love them. They're absolutely stunning. They're gorgeous. I mean, I happen to be a Shire mm-hmm. horse mm-hmm. aficionado. Mm-hmm. The old draft horses that people used to use, if anybody ever watched All Creatures Great and Small, the Shire is
huge.
The draft horse of choice.
Huge.
Monstrous.
Yes, very huge.
Absolutely. Yes. Beautiful. And well-tempered and everything else. I mean, it's just that's my preference. Clydesdales, there's nothing wrong with. Percherons, Belgians.
Oh,
you know,
Percherons.
I love them all.
I used to ride.
They're purple. I love the purple Percherons. Mm-hmm. They're really not purple. They're just kind of this bluish thing that in the sunshine they get this purple cast, and it's beautiful. But anyway, look, going to see something like that is a wonderful thing. But there's an awful lot more going on, and we need to remember the fact that July 2nd through 5th, 4th or 5th, is the anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
You know, the seminal event that proved to the world that in the United States, and, you know, pardon the analogy, but that proved to the world that in the United States, Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true. And I have something to discuss with you on that one, too.
Yeah. Well, but I'm saying, you know, this proved to the world, you know, that in the United States, Black Lives Matter. And in the meantime, at Gettysburg Memorial, with I don't know how many thousand reenactors of, you know, Johnny Reb.
Gosh. And have Yankee you ever been Doodle. To one of those encampments, the Civil War encampments?
I've been to a Civil War encampment, but not at Gettysburg. I was at Chancellorsville one time, and it was entirely by accident.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
I was at Chancellorsville. I just thought I'd stop by, you know, because I was on the road to Roanoke, where one of my cousins lives, and I said, oh, Chancellorsville, next right. So I went, and they had an encampment, and I was like, oh, my God.
They're amazing.
I just stepped back. I just stepped back in time. I was like, you know, I felt like Mr. Peabody and Dexter, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever he was called. Poindexter. The Wayback Machine.
Yep.
It was like, and there's tents, and there's surgeons willing to cut people's legs off, and there's embalmers, and officers and enlisted people, and, you know, campfires, and so you've got this kind of thing, and I do know what the reenactments are like. Not that I took part, but I do know what they're like. As a matter of fact, one of my brother's brothers-in-law mm-hmm. Is a reenactor here in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And he goes from nice. Place to place, you know, but pretty much here in Pennsylvania. And that's what he does. Look, everybody's got a hobby.
I
build
think it's
model
a great
airplanes.
Hobby.
You know, what are you going to
I think it's a great hobby.
Yeah.
It's historical. You're learning about America's history. You're immersing yourself
yeah.
in America's history.
So here I am, and I realize that, and I do own a black powder rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not, you know, Daniel Boone was, no, it's a modern, what they call an inline, it uses pelletized
right.
charges.
Right.
It's not like. Not like I got a big old powder horn, you know,
yes.
and you know,
those are the days,
there,
right?
you know, with a bacon fat patch,
yeah.
and you know, ram it down in there, you know, kind of a thing. No, it's a modern inline kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Uses sabo slugs, you know, with plastic outsides. It's you know, qualifies me for an extra 2 weeks of hunting season.
That's true.
Really is
that
what
is
it does.
True. Yes.
You know, and not for nothing, but it's a lot of fun to shoot because. When you do shoot it, even if you've got the powder charge correct, you
right.
know, the two or three of the synthetic, it's not real black powder, it's a synthetic substitute,
mm-hmm.
and you ram the thing down there, and you pull the trigger, and this flame plume comes out of it about 4 feet
oh my God.
Long. and it's reasonably smokeless, but that's not to say it's smokeless. There's smoke.
Right.
It's not... Like you see on these History Channel shows, and they pull the trigger, and like 15 cubic feet of smoke engulfs the you know the individual soldier. But it's a lot of fun to shoot. And as a matter of fact, I've never even used it on game. I've used it more for the effect than on game.
Mm-hmm. So,
but
okay.
So you've got all these reenactors at Gettysburg, Chancellorsville, you know, whatever bridge, whatever, you know, field. And they're all going to be hanging out on both sides, Johnny Reb and Yankee Doodle,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they're all walking around with these old flintlock musket things, you know, ramrods and powder horns and all this other stuff. And Antifa decides that they're going to protest there and burn Confederate flags and desecrate Civil War graves.
Yeah. Isn't that lovely?
So Antifa Harrisburg has issued a statement saying, yes, we're going to be there, and Nazi biker gangs already talking smack. They didn't say smack, but I'm going to say that because we have a family audience. Mm-hmm. Well, let me explain something to you, son. I don't care how many bikers show up. Those are not what you should... Those are not where you should be focusing your attention. 10,000 people with muskets and Shiloh Sharps carbines, and I guess they're only loaded with blanks, but those blanks have wax charges in them, which, by the way, killed one Hollywood star one time because he said, hey, get me, and he pulled the trigger on what he thought was a blank. And indeed, it was, but that wax charge went through his brain and killed him. That was John Eric Hexum on a show called... I don't remember what it was called.
I forget.
But, yeah, he stuck the thing to his head and he pulled the trigger and he died, you know, because that wax charge hit his brain.
That's right.
You think the bikers are a problem?
Let me put it to you this way. You really think that all those reenactors and the people who have come out to see them and those who are interested in American history are going to allow these Antifa morons to actually desecrate sacred land like that? I don't think so.
Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you something. I've watched the Antifa thing on various platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I can tell you is the minute that a law enforcement person walks up and says, you can't come in here masked, they cry.
Oh, really?
Or the minute that they're in what we call an acute interpersonal relationship and they become unmasked, they cry.
That's true. No, I've seen that. They get very upset.
The minute there's three of them or four of them or five of them and there's 10 people bigger than them,
really?
They run away and they cry.
Yeah.
I think they... What did that knight say in Indiana Jones? You have chosen poorly.
Poorly, yes.
You're going to go somewhere where you think bikers are a problem, and you've got the Sons of the Confederacy putting an entire battalion of men at one side of the field, and the Union Reenactors Association at the other side of the field. And you're going to march into that field and desecrate graves and burn Confederate flags, and you think you're going to go home that night.
I know.
Without a scar to show for your trouble.
They don't get it. They think that they can act any way they want. They're against the First Amendment, but in reality, they are actually supporting the First Amendment and showing what the First Amendment is about by their protests. If it was any other place in the world, they would get their butts kicked, thrown in jail, and you never hear from these people again.
Well, you know, it's not even a question of, you know, that kind of thing. It's a question of, you know, here's these people who, you know, despise, you know, law and order, and, you know, they're anarchists, and I got a hunch the first thing you're going to be screaming for is cops.
Exactly. Yes. I agree. But you know what? I think that the reenactors will put a stop to any of that. I really do. Plus the Park Service. Don't forget, it is a national park. They're not going to allow them to desecrate land like that. They're just not.
Well,
I can imagine.
You know, but they sneak in.
Yeah, I know, but.
They sneak in, you know, with a windbreaker on, and then they lose their windbreaker.
I know, but.
Put up their, you know.
I think that they're going to be taken care of. I really do. And I think it's going to be a day that they're going to remember, and for all the wrong reasons. I don't think they're going to get away with this.
I think when we talk about Custer's last stand, I think this might well be Antifa's last stand.
You know, have they been labeled a hate group yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But whether it's wax or whether it's lead or whether it's brass or whether it's, you know, I don't know, bacon fat, whatever. If you're within a few yards of one of those muskets and it goes off, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
It's going to leave a mark.
Exactly. know.
And I wouldn't be terribly surprised if 100 men are standing there, and they all pull the trigger, but only 7 or 8 of them actually take aim.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
They could turn around
and
say,
I'm hoping for the best.
They could all turn around and say, wasn't me.
Yep.
You know, it's
That's
like
right.
the old days with firing squad execution. There was always one guy who had an empty chamber or a blank.
Mm-hmm. So nobody knows.
So he could always go home saying, well, you know what? I was the one with the blank, and they could go home feeling good,
right.
you know, because they weren't the one who killed the guy.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, which I never understood, because I don't give a shit. Give me the pardon. I don't care. Give me the... give me the live round. I, you know, if this person has been duly judged and needs to die, I got no problem with that.
I agree with you on that.
But if you've got 97 guys or 93 guys that are shooting up in the air by, you know, I don't know, an inch or two
mm-hmm.
over their heads,
mm-hmm.
and 7 guys take aim and fire, and even if it's just wax,
oh, that'll leave a mark.
It'll leave a mark.
Yeah.
And they'll all go home, and they'll go back to mommy's basement, you know, where they usually live, you know, and they'll complain to their mommy, oh, somebody hurt me. But they won't come out to the next protest saying, hell with this.
Let's see. Let's see what happens.
You know, now
that, keep an eye
that
on
may
Williamsburg.
Not
a, keep an eye on it.
It may not apply. It may not apply to the Reds, but, you know, the yellows and the greens, you know, they may decide, well, you know what, this is just isn't worth getting shot.
Right. But
even if it's not with anything, you know, live ammunition, but moving it along, this is supposed to be the weekend of fire. There are supposed to be Antifa protests all over the country this weekend.
You know, if they dislike this country so much, they can leave. There is nothing keeping them here. We are not demanding that they stay. We are not preventing them from leaving. They can leave. Go somewhere
else. They can leave, but the point is they don't want to leave. They want to make us live to their standard.
Well, guess what, honey bunch? It's not going to happen. You get...
there's a way to do that. There's a way to do that, and it's called, you know, plebiscite. You know, there's a way to do this. You petition your representative, your congressman, your county clerk, whoever, and you petition to change the laws as they stand, and they get voted up or they get voted down. I mean, that's the way it's done. You know, and I saw that today in another report that I read about the immigration situation,
yeah.
where all we do is enforce the law. Congress makes the
That's
law.
Right.
We just enforce it. If you want the law to change, change it, and we'll enforce it that way. But in the meantime, this is what we have as the law of the land, and we will enforce
That's
it.
That's right, and it hadn't been enforced in the past, but the laws are
and
on
it
the
hadn't
books.
Been enforced. You know,
the laws are on the books.
But I understand Kate's law passed by a significant margin.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
I don't remember the numbers, but it did pass by.
One Republican voted against
margin.
It, and I don't know who that Republican is.
One Republican from Michigan or Minnesota or
okay.
what it had an M in it. Voted against, and he said because it violates the first, fourth, tenth, and 11th amendments.
Wait a minute. Or
first, fourth, fifth, tenth, 11th amendments.
These are illegals. They don't have rights under the law. They don't.
Well, theoretically, anyone on U.S. soil is covered by constitutional protection. However, when you start out as an illegal. I don't remember how
don't
the last
think,
the decision came
so.
Down.
No, I don't think so. They don't. They're not supposed to receive the same protections as citizens and legal residents. I don't think so. I mean, you're.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't remember. I don't remember how the last decision came down from SCOTUS,
mm-hmm.
but or from whatever district court of appeals. But
in my opinion, if you're here illegally, if you're here legally, you know, whether you're on H1, H2, mm-hmm. V2, whatever, visa, right. E2, you know, you've got certain constitutional rights.
That's,
you know,
right.
Absolutely, positively. But if you're here having committed the crime of coming here illegally, do you have that protection?
They shouldn't, because they already broke the law. They've broken the law by virtue of the fact they came in here without the proper paperwork, invitation, or whatever. They don't deserve the protection. Well, I don't think they do. But yet, we've had politicians in the past who think that they deserve the full protections and more.
I don't believe that they do, but that's just me. I mean, I'm going to be taking the test for this on social media, I'm sure. But no, I don't believe. I think if you're here illegally, you forego such things as the constitutional protections that you would have if you did come here legally.
That's right. That's right.
If you came here legally and you went through the process, you know, even if you're not yet a citizen.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You're afforded the protections. But then don't forget, even if you are here legally, Lou, and you do break the law, you're subject to deportation.
That's true.
Right.
And there was a Texas judge that just revoked somebody's citizenship yesterday.
You mean their legal status?
And she turned around. He was here on legal status.
Okay.
But he was a DACA.
That's legal.
Young man, and she turned around and she stripped him and she said, "No, you're done.
Good.
But you're done.
But if
we'll
he was
give
DACA,
you enough We'll give you enough constitutional protection to give you Fourth Amendment right, Fifth Amendment right. But other than that, you know, you're out of luck, kid."
Mm-hmm. Okay. People are learning.
You know, because we've got too many of them out there that are committing various crimes up to and including murder, rape, mayhem.
That's right. I mean, how many teenagers have been killed on Long Island? Is it Queens or is it Long Island? I mean, that one.
No, it's Long Island.
Long Island. I mean,
Suffolk County.
Suffolk County, that's right. I mean, what is it, 4 or 5 in the same high school? Something like that. It's ridiculous.
No, it's more. Well, it's 4 or 5 in the same high school, but it's like 10 in the last 3 years.
It's ridiculous. By this MS-13, it's just ludicrous. But Trump is making.
I don't understand. I don't understand where anybody could sit there and say to me, "Well, you know, they're misunderstood. They're this. Isn't that very West Side Story? You know, we're misunderstood."
No,
you know, so we're misunderstood because of the fact that, you know, we demand 110% loyalty or we'll hack you to death with a machete.
Exactly.
Well, that's cultural.
Oh, geez, Louise.
We
Somebody
don't
actually
understand
uses that
their
excuse?
Culture. Oh, they do it all the time.
You mean
they do it all the time?
Oh,
you don't
here?
Understand the culture.
Well, no, no.
You don't understand the culture it came from.
I know
in,
that's
in
being
El
used
Salvador.
To Islam. And they're using it for all the illegals that are coming up from Central and South America and Mexico. Interesting.
Well, whether it's the Sereños, the Latin Kings, MS-13, or any of these gangs. Well, they took one kid and they were complaining because of the fact that it was the day before his prom and 3 days before his high school graduation, and he, even though he didn't qualify for graduation, they were going to allow him to graduate.
Really? Jeez.
No, they were, and but he was going off to trade school, and he was becoming an ASME mechanic, and all this other stuff, and how could they possibly take this young man? You know, here he was going to go to his prom and his graduation, and said. Again, not that he qualified for graduation, but they were going to give him credit if he continued his education in the trade school and, you know, the same thing. In the meantime, he's got a gun tattoo on his neck.
I know.
And, you know, pictures of himself on social media, you know, flashing the various and sundry, you know,
hand
signals and
you know, kind of a thing. And
they shouldn't be here. They should be deported.
He's only 17.
Really?
You know, this,
okay, gonna, yeah, I have such sympathy, yeah.
Take
okay.
away from his please. Family. Oh, and this, you know something? I got news. You got a guy with gun tattoo who has pictures on social media of him throwing these gang signs, these hand signals, and, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing,
exactly.
And who has been forgiven a certain number of credits to graduate high school. Because, well, he'll make it up in trade school, and you take somebody who's been given that many breaks.
And they still, yeah.
And you separate him from his family? I could sum it up in one word. I don't care!
Okay, it's three. But that's okay. No, I agree. I agree! Well, no. Too many people are getting hurt out there by these people. I don't care what their circumstances are. I don't, you know, media and social media, and there's so many outlets there. You can see how Americans act and how Americans live, their customs and culture and traditions. There's no excuse. If you really want to become an American, work at it.
Well, exactly. And here's the thing. You know, when you get to the point where, you know, you catch these guys and they round them up, and ICE has been doing a phenomenal job.
They have been amazing.
As a matter of fact,
in Chicago, they did a whole
20 new agents of ATF went to Chicago recently.
Really?
Good.
They need the help.
Yeah, because they need the help. And, you know, you can't send in the Army, you know, obviously. You can't send in, you know, the Marines or whatever.
Not yet.
You know, but they could send in BATF. Right. But they could send in BATF agents and say, okay, we're going to crack down on this, and we're going to find these people, and we're going to take these guns off the street, and we're going to take these people off the street with those guns,
right.
And we're going to try and do what we can, you know, that Rahm Emanuel can't.
Won't.
And we're going to try and make
Won't.
Chicago a little bit, you know. Or won't, whatever. But when you look at it and you say, okay, we've got these detainers on these people in this jail mm-hmm. in San Jose, or we've got these people in this jail in Dallas, or we've got these people in jail in Chicago, or we got or Boston, you know, and we've got detainers on them, and we go and we pick them up, and you find out that the left lines up. Say, oh, he's a family man. What do you mean he's a family man? Well, he's got, you know, four baby mamas and eight kids,
God.
With each of these, you know, listen, when they talk about, oh, you're going to split up families, you know something, when you get to a situation like that,
yeah,
one word, I don't care.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, anyway.
Take them, put them on the other side of the border. Tattoo them so that if they come back, we can look at them with these fancy super-de-duper UV starlight night vision, mm-hmm. you know, goggle things and say, oh, you've got that tattoo. You're not coming back into the United States.
Exactly. I agree. No, I agree with you on that point.
Get your butt back over to Rio Grande. You know, we don't care if you get picked off by, you know, a cartel.
Mm-hmm. You're in
That's
this
not
country
our problem.
Hurting our citizens. You should not be here.
Yep.
Yeah.
You should not be here.
Exactly. So, July 4th, we got off track again. But look, folks, we're going to have to wind this up a bit. I want everybody to stay safe. We have to
stay
be
safe.
Vigilant. Because, who knows? This is our big holiday.
Because there are people out there
big
who
big holiday.
There are people out there.
And
yes, who
what
want
happened.
To hurt us, and they like our.
Remember what happened in France.
Yep.
Wasn't it Bastille Day? Or was it not? Yes.
Last year?
No, was it
2 years
ago?
Yeah, last year it was Bastille Day.
Bastille Day. Yes, remember that. Remember, folks. We cannot become victims. So be vigilant.
Keep your head on a swivel.
Man, yeah. Keep know where you are. Be aware of your surroundings, who is around you, around your family. Any suspicious activities, take note. And if it gets worse, report it.
Know where your exits are.
Yes. Isn't it horrible that we actually have to talk about this? I think it's horrible.
It is. It's horrible. Because you know what? We've enjoyed so many years of not having to sweat small stuff.
That's right.
But since they made it other than small stuff, you know, whether it's big stuff, medium stuff, whatever, you know, that said, you know, we need to be vigilant.
Yes, we do.
And we need to be paying attention to our surroundings. Mm-hmm. And we need to be, if you see something, say something. It sounds so trite. It does. All these years after 9/11, it sounds so trite. But if you see something, say something. Yes. What's the worst that could happen? It's nothing?
That's right. That's right. But everybody, listen, get out there and celebrate. This is our...
But celebrate.
It's Independence Day.
Safely.
This is when we declared our independence from the British Empire.
I got a big kick out of the fact that Governor Christie signed legislation to make small fireworks legal.
Yeah.
Sparklers, magic snakes, you know, that kind of...
Were you and I raised with that stuff?
Pop.
The sparklers?
Oh, yeah. Smoke bombs. Yeah. We were raised with that. But they illegalized it some time ago because, think of the children!
I know.
You know, the typical liberal battle cry.
I know.
Think of the children! And they said, 3,500 fireworks, you know,
I know.
Accidents happen every year in the emergency rooms across the state of New Jersey. Well, here's the problem. They just legalized sparklers and added to 3,500. 3,200 of them were kids burned by sparklers.
Oh, gosh.
You know, I mean, yeah, you get the occasional kid, you know, two or three a year who blew their thumb off with an M80 something, M80, you know. But most of the fireworks injuries were kids getting burned by sparklers. So what's the first thing they legalize? Sparklers.
But everybody
it's
has,
like, oh,
wait a minute,
well,
everybody
you know,
has get... gotten burned by sparklers. Didn't you get burned by a sparkler?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, so did I.
Oh, yes.
God, the big
God,
sparkle
yes.
and they go on your arm and
oh,
you...
Oh, my God.
Come on.
I think the first time I got burned by a sparkler, I was like 4 or 5, and then like again at 6 or 7, and then again at 7 or 8, and then again at 9 or 10. You know, and then by the time I got to 11 or 12, I was, you know, with my buddies over at Canal Street.
Right?
Anyway, you know, you're better off with firecrackers, bottle rockets, M80s, cherry bombs, you know, skyrockets, super dee duper bloopers, and devil's farts, and you know, dragon's tails, and
oh,
you know,
Lord.
You know, smack your mama things and stuff than you are with a sparkler.
No, sparklers are harmless. All the kids used to have sparklers.
Oh yeah, they're harmless until you...
Yeah. No,
well, but here's the other thing too: in this day and age, if you get burned by a sparkler, it's not like, oh, geez, you got burned yourself, you dopey kid.
Yeah.
You know, oh, let's put some Bactine on it. You know,
yeah, here's some ice.
Here's some ice. Here's some Bactine. Here's
and
a Band-Aid. You know, shut
enjoy.
Up.
Go sit down.
You know, yeah. Here's some ice cream. Here's another piece of watermelon. You know, whatever. You know, as opposed to nowadays, everybody's like, oh, my God, my child burned their finger. Off to the emergency room. You know.
Yeah. Oh, let's sue.
Yeah. No wonder we've got a generation of snowflakes now they said something mean to me. Mm-hmm. You know, why? Because their parents took them to the emergency room because they burned their finger on a sparkler.
That's right. So, you know what, though? Their parents' problem. Unfortunately, they're going to be our problem. But this time I just want to revel in the celebration of, you know, founding of our country.
Oh, I'd love to revel. Oh, yes, revel.
I plan on having barbecue.
Oh, yes, so do we.
Yep. Yeah. And it should be a lot
of fun.
Yeah,
we picked up a... I don't remember if it was Weiss or ShopRite sometime recently had huge racks of ribs.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we did pick up a rack of ribs, too.
For like $1.49 a pound.
Yep. It's the barbecue season. It's prime barbecue season. That's why they push the sales.
Oh, my God. And if there's anything I'm known for, it's ribs.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I am. I'm known. I used to run a rib fest every year. For about 5 years, I ran Rib Fest. It was the weekend before Labor Day every year. As a matter of fact, I intend to pick that tradition back up this
good.
Year. Yep. And
actually,
and,
we're serving ribs one of the days that my sister-in-law was here. We're going to do barbecue
yep,
ribs.
Not saying that my ribs are the best on the planet, but I bet you they're close.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
On slow and low, kind of thing.
How many hours do you usually take? How many hours?
Well, I cheat.
You cheat. Do you boil them first?
I cheat. No, God, no.
Okay.
I do bake them first.
Oh, okay.
I bake them first for, I don't know how long it takes. I look at them. There's no timer in the world that can tell me, opening the door of the oven.
Right.
And then I put them on the grill, low and slow, and I leave them on the grill, generally speaking, about 4 hours.
I like that idea. Okay.
And, of course, my own dry rub.
Mm-hmm.
Before they even go in the oven, I've rubbed them and they've set, for hours and hours and hours. And I redo the rub over and over and over and over as it gets damp, and it sucks up the moisture. And I add more. And after they've reached a certain doneness that is subjective, only unto me, then they go on the grill at low and slow, about 200, 225, 215, somewhere there, for about 4 hours. Basically, all I do is when the time comes, I put them up on the big platter and I just pull the bones out.
Oh, wow. That sounds so good.
And carve everything else up. Although at the large end,
mm-hmm.
I leave the bones in because those happen to be my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave the bones in and I just slice them down and I gnaw them bone.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds so good. Oh, my gosh. Hey, folks,
yeah,
if that doesn't want to get you barbecuing, I don't know what will. My God. Oh.
Yeah, barbecue, whether you want ribs, whether you want chicken, whether you want, one of my other personal faves is grilled, the large stem asparagus, which are pretty much all you're going to find right now because the small stems are gone.
Right.
Portobello mushrooms.
Oh, yes.
Tomatoes, on the grill, eggplant, zucchini. All of which I put on the grill, whatever it is you want to barbecue, do it. London broil or T-bone or porterhouse or whatever it is you want to put on the grill, do that. Please do that because, and if you can do it over hardwood charcoal the way I do,
mm-hmm.
Natural hardwood charcoal.
Right.
Not briquettes,
uh-huh.
natural hardwood charcoal.
I know.
If you can do it over that, great, but even if all you have is a gas grill, even if all you have is one of those little mini gas grills mm-hmm. that takes the Burns-O-Matic tank,
right.
and you're making little tiny bits just for you and your spouse, or you and your girlfriend, or you and your boyfriend, and that's what you do, well, good. Do it, because we need to separate ourselves from King George III. And that's what this is about.
That's right, but you...
That's what this is about. And hold your glass up, if you've got a glass, I'm sure you do, and look, if you're a teetotaler and all you've got is a glass of ginger ale, God bless you, but, whether it's wine, champagne, whiskey, vodka, tequila, whatever it is you drink, hold it up high and thank Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, John Adams, George Washington, John Quincy Adams, Martin Van Buren, William Pitt, Rebecca from New Jersey. All these people who pledged their lives,
the
liberty,
of the Declaration of Independence,
and sacred,
yes,
and sacred honor to sign the Declaration of Independence because, oh, you know how I am with the Constitution. You know how I am with,
yes,
the Constitution. And the Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. You know how I am with the Bill of Rights. But none of it matters if there wasn't the Declaration of Independence, when in the course of human events, none of it matters.
That's right. Exactly.
And, you know, with that said, here we are. We're about to go into another holiday. We got out of Memorial Day already, you know, and here we are on today I have a 4th of July in England. But here we are in Independence Day. Here we are in Independence Day.
Yeah.
You have to. And I know this sounds trite, but you have to thank those people who keep that freedom for us.
That's,
you know,
right.
You have to thank people in uniform, people who used to be in uniform, people who died in uniform, people who when you go to,
that's
whether
right,
it's Gettysburg or whether
that's
it's
right,
Chancellorsville
right,
or whether it's Trenton,
that's right, that's
or
right,
or whether it's, you know, and you see that they've got medals, whether it's the Purple Heart or the Congressional Medal of Honor or a Silver Star or a Bronze Star or just having been there.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I agree. So anyway, folks.
You look at this you say, thank you, because here we are today. Even with the Antifa and with the Black Lives Matter and with the Occupy and with, you know, all these things. Here we are, 240-odd years later. And we're still here. We're still the shining city on the hill. We're still the best hope of mankind. You've got to celebrate that. You've got to. You can't not. You know, even if you're completely hedonistic and you say, well, this weekend is about me, this weekend is about my barbecue, this weekend is about my boat, this weekend is about my,
there's a reason you're able to really do that, you know.
But there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
And I just hope you'd give a knowing glance to the sky for what you've got. You know, especially you people in the Antifa and stuff, give a knowing nod to the sky, saying, you know what, I don't believe in you people, you're white supremacists, you're racists, you're Islamists, you're this, you're Islamophobes, but at least you have the right to say so, mm-hmm, and it has to do with when in the course of human events, on July 4th, 1776.
There you go. So with that, folks, listen, thank you for joining us. Have a safe 4th of July, safe weekend if you're traveling.
Please.
Please be
aware.
Enjoy.
Yep.
Enjoy family, friends, barbecue, fireworks, swimming, however you choose to celebrate it. So everybody, stay safe.
Stay safe. Stay sound. Give the love of your life to our founders, and may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.